Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, as you come in, if you're catching this live, go ahead and drop some pointers of where you're from, where you're at, all the other great stuff. So this is a little bit later than usual, but I wanted to come to everybody and tell everybody about what we kind of seen today. So y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to put a little stroll in on this so that we can catch this live. And it's been a pretty great question that has been going around that has been pushing my mind a little bit. I've been wondering. I've been wondering myself, you know, we have the Consumer Confidence Report that came out today that we're going to look at. And of course, the Consumer Confidence Report didn't look too great today, right? Y'all give me 1 second here. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Now, the big thing is, we see Consumer Confidence Report. We're going to look at today and see exactly what the Consumer Confidence Index is. It dropped today. So we're going to take a look at that today. And we're also going to take a look at the other thing, how the market looked all together. But the big thing is we have on Thursday, we have what happens every Thursday of every week. We have the jobless claims reports coming out on Thursday. And Friday, April 3rd, is a big day because that's just when we get our employment situation report, aka that's when we get our employment numbers coming in. So let's go ahead and do a little roll call. JR said he's still waiting on the dip. We're going to talk about that. JR is coming in from Atlanta. And we got Shan from Memphis, Tennessee. So exactly. So the thing about it, we looked at everything and we look across the board. The Dow Jones dropped today 400 points. Consumer confidence dropped today. Now, what is consumer confidence? So before I show this exactly to you, we're going to look at what consumer confidence is. It's a survey that's taking once a month. I think it's a Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month. They put out at 10 o'clock Eastern. They put out an index to investigate or to track consumer confidence, right? Of course, you've seen a big decline in consumer confidence because consumer confidence is based around how confident people are in the economy. Right now, we have people that are not working. We have people that don't even know when they're going back to work. So I was expecting a nice little drop there, and that's exactly what it did. So let's jump right into the Consumer Confidence Report that is put out by the Conference Board. So we're going to go directly to the conferenceboard.org, which is the organization that they put out a lot of different indexes. They put out our leading indicator index, all type of indexes. But we're going to look at this particular press release that they put out today to speak about the consumer confidence report. So y'all give me 1 second. I'm going to share my screen for people that are catching this live or catching the playback. Here we go. All righty here. So right here, this is the conference board. Did I say the conference board? The conferenceboard.org. This is the conferenceboard.org, right? So up here, you can see the economical indicators, consumer confidence. It dropped 12 points. And this is a report here. How this is done is this is when people, they put out a survey about five questions. Inside that five questions, they ask things like, how do you feel about a job? They do a survey of 5,000 households. And at 5,000 households, they ask about five or six questions, which is pretty much getting their confidence in the market. And why this is so important is because if people are not confident in the market, in consuming, then that means that people buy less. If people buy less, that means that companies make less profits. If companies make less profits, they report less profits. That makes the stock value go down. And if companies are selling less, then they hire less people. That can affect employment. So everything, the whole engine of the economy is built around people spending. So if people don't have confidence in their job, like I don't know, if, I lost my job. I don't know if I'm going to go back to work next week or next month. Do you think I'm really going to buy that house I was looking at? Do you think I'm going to go on a vacation I was looking at going on? Do you think I'm going to buy that new car I was going to buy? No. So for people to make big purchases and to spend freely, they have to have confidence with inside of the economy. So this is I'm teaching you guys and girls how to fish. This is not coming from a media outlet or what somebody said. This is not what anybody told me. This is coming from the conference board. Now, what gives the conference board so much legitimacy? Because this is actually what the Federal Reserve uses to adjust interest rates. So this is what the feds, they read this exact report, and this is how they can come to the conclusion of how the economy is doing. So this is why it's so important to read some of these reports, and you can get these reports as well if you go to www.conferenceboard.org. So right here it says the conference board is sharply declined in March following an increase in February. February, we was at an all-time high on February 12th, so everybody was very confident in the market. In March, on March 23rd is when we hit our bottom of like 18,000-something, and you can see it's telling you right here it declined sharply in March following an increase in February. The index now stands at 120, down 132 points in February, the present index or whatnot, right? So here's what they kind of wrote. You can see here. Consumer confidence declined sharply in March due to the deterioration of the short-term outlook. And they're talking about, well, all of these things is going on, all this uncertainty is going on into the market. So that's what I want to show you guys and girls. That itself is the consumer confidence indicator. All right, we got LHJ19 calling in from Virginia. And we got Lady Senor from Atlanta, Georgia. Okay, it was Lady Senor. And JR said, what are your thoughts on Alphabet and Facebook? Facebook, I'm not really 100%. Well, you know what? Can I be honest with you? Both great companies. I think Facebook is going to soar and surprise people in the future. Why, Prince? Because Facebook is going to soar because of what? Everybody's online. I think their online content has increased. More people are online. More people are streaming. More people are doing shows. More people are consuming more social media activity since a lot of people are at home. So I don't think their user base is going to grow, but I think that their online activity, their active users, is going to increase big time. Now, as far as Alphabet, Alphabet is a strong company. Alphabet, guys and girls, that's Google. That's the parent company of Google. Google owns what? YouTube. Google owns Facebook. That is the internet. Google is the internet. It's the number one researched tool. So for prime example, who remembers, I'm 35 years old, but you remember you had to go to school and you had to remember how you, when you had to go to school, you had to do a research paper. You had to go to a library and pull out a library card to find what the book is. And then you got to write something about the book or whatever the case may be. And you was kind of learning how to do research. Now those days are gone. Everybody, all the kids now, all they know how to do is go to google.com. That's it. You know, second nature is like Bing, but people don't even use Bing. But now in schools and colleges, they're teaching people how to use Google. So when you look at most people's homepages, majority of my homepages are Google. So when you look at a company like Google, it has over $100 million in capital, right? I mean, not in capital, but in cash. So definitely, I think that Google, they will make it through to the other side of this downside of the economy. So that's my take on Alphabet and Facebook. We got Kendra Taylor said, what's up, DSJ? What's going on, Kendra? You doing all right? All right. LH19 said, what you think about Exxon? Okay, XOM. XOM is the largest company in the energy sector. What I don't like about XOM, I'm not a big fan of oil. So that I'm not a big fan of oil, so it's a no-go for me for Exxon. The reason why my simple down South Georgia philosophy on oil is a old, not old, but oil is a natural resource that's in the ground. Now, who watched the interview yesterday from Metal World Peace, or who catched it live, Metal World Peace? He had a funny way of his thinks on oil. He thinks about oil. He looks at oil and says, hey, I believe oil belongs in the ground. And it should stay there. But with me, when I look at the future of oil, everybody is getting away from oil. Everybody, look at all the cars. You got hybrid cars. You got people are using hybrid cars where it's using gas and electric. You have people using hydrogen now. People are trying to get away from oil. Every new thing that comes out is trying to get away. And so I'm not big on oil, right? Everything is becoming more less oil and oil dependent. It hit a peak around the last recession because gas prices just went through the roof. But now notice when America started fracking, meaning they can go out into the middle of the ocean and pump oil out of the middle of the ocean. Once they figured that out, we became the number two producers of oil. So now oil prices is dictated by a group of people called the OPEC, if I'm not mistaken. They get together and decide how much oil are they going to produce that quarter. And if Russia gets pissed off and produces too much, or the Middle East gets pissed off, because I don't know if you guys and girls remember, it was oil and the coronavirus that pretty much started everything on a downturn. So because you had a Saudi Arabian president or whatever, Middle Eastern president, that went in and pumped a whole bunch of oil. So that's why I'm not big on the oil, because I don't see the future of oil. I don't see it growing. I don't see the demand growing. And now that we have plenty of oil, it's all the supply is dictated upon how much we pump. And I don't have time for that. I'd rather go to something else, right? What did I miss there? I jumped over somebody. We got Joyce there from Tampa. How you doing, Miss Joyce? Kevin said, what's up, Prince? DC in the house. Kevin is back. DC is in the house. Kendrick Taylor, what's going on, Kendrick? He says, careful on the oil. Dividend will be in trouble if the countries with all the rigs online. Yes, that's why it's too political. It's too, it's a group of people that get the largest oil producers in the world get together, and they decide how much they're going to pump, how many barrels they're going to pump. And the reason why that is so important, because supply and demand. If demand stays the same, do y'all think the demand for oil is increasing or decreasing? I think it's actually staying the same or decreasing, in my opinion. Now, granted, I'm not an oil energy expert, but just using my simple common sense, I look at oil as a demand that is stabilizing or that's decreasing, if anything, because everything you see is getting away from oil. We're becoming less and less oil dependent. Then plus we figured out a way to increase the supply of oil. So you got supply and demand. When you have supply staying the same, or if supply goes up and oil demand stays the same and go down, that means price is coming down. So that's not something I'm looking into the future. I don't see people saying, we're going to create these oil cars, or we're going to become more oil dependent. But look at everything nowadays. Everybody's trying to build electronic cars, hydrogen cars, hybrid cars, big machinery is using hydrogen. So I will pass on the oil at this time. Picasso says, good afternoon, Prince, from Irvine, California. Okay, what's going on there, Picasso? Kevin, cruise lines and airlines, only thing green today. Yeah, that is pretty suspicious with them. They were pretty green. I think the sector that was down the most, I got the sectors pulled up here. The sector that was down the most today was utilities. Kind of surprising. But the only sector that was up, sector in general, was energy. So, yeah, they don't have the transportation industry in here altogether. But who took the biggest hit today was utilities. And, of course, you're seeing real estate go down 3%, which is kind of everybody's down today. All the sectors are down except energy that's had a little small spike. And nobody – wasn't a big crazy change. But yeah, the airlines, they've been beaten down so much, so even they probably experiencing a dead cat bounce themselves. He said, didn't Saudi IPO a $1 trillion company? Yes, they did. Now, the thing about overseas international investing that I look at sometimes, a lot of those companies are in dictatorships, right? Meaning that, like here in America, anybody can create pretty much anything they want to create. But in a lot of dictatorship companies and a lot of families and stuff like that, they have more control over the economy, meaning that you can't open this or you can't start this. I'm saying all of that is that companies that are created overseas, it's a lot of political power that's behind it. You know, it's not, this company was just so great that it's a $1 trillion company. It could be old oil, family money, and they won't allow nobody else to use any other oil. Like China, they can come out and say, hey, the only person you're going to use is Alibaba. You know, the dictator, imagine if Trump came out and said, all you can use is Amazon, nothing else. They can do that. So that's why I'm not big too crazy on the, what you call, overseas. Thoughts on ULA and Roku? Now, Roku got beaten down pretty bad last year. Let's take a look at ULA. Yeah, Roku struggled pretty hard last year, even though I used them. And also let you guys and girls know, tomorrow live, we will have, because I just logged on to Yahoo Finance, tomorrow live, we will have the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance, who controls all the content for Yahoo Finance, Mr. Andy Sori. He will be in the studio, not in the studio, but, you know, on the virtual studio tomorrow. So y'all tune in tomorrow live. He's going to be on at 2 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Eastern, Eastern time, 2 p.m. So we're going to get some good conversation. He's a guy that sits down with Warren Buffett every year. You know what? Let me pull up Andy so you guys and girls can see him. All right. Yes, here it is. This is Mr. Andy Sori. Andy Sori is the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance, where he oversees all editorial content from breaking news to in-depth stories to original video programming. He is previously the manager of Fortune, and he has worked at Time Incorporated for 29 years. He has been a regular guest on MSNBC, Morning Joe, CNBC, CNBC, and other TV and radio programs. So he's the guy in... He's the guy that you guys see in Buffett's latest interview. I'm going to share a little tad bit of it. But he sits down with Buffett every year, and he's the only person that I've seen sit down with him this year so far, especially since the annual meeting is not going on. And I'm saying all that because he will be in tomorrow. Of course, they got to play a 15-minute ad. I should talk to him about that tomorrow. But he'll be in the studio tomorrow for you guys and girls to talk to. So let's get back to a ULTA. I think that's the symbol was. ULTA. ULTA Beauty. Okay. That was kind of surprising. I wasn't expecting I'm guessing this is it's a NASDAQ. Okay, let's take a quick 9.83 billion and market cap. Where's your PE ratio? It's open at 175 PE ratio. Okay. Decent PE ratio. Let's look at a quick look at the finances. Growing total revenue, gross profits are growing. Okay, decently. Income before taxes. Okay, so it does have a growing income before taxes. Okay. Net income. Growing net income. Of course, I can't do the math to see at what percentage. All right, let's see how much money's in the bank. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice little growing cash. Has a nice little cash stockpile. Total assets of 4.8 million, 1.3 million. No, total liabilities, 2.9 million. So it has a net worth of 1.9 million. Okay. Not too bad. Just a quick look at ULV. Now, I haven't looked at the sector of ULTA, Kevin, but looking at his finances, pretty strong finances. The only other thing I have to do, I would have to compare it to his industry. I haven't compared it to his industry to see who else is in the industry as well, because you might find somebody that's doing exactly better. I never heard of that company. I think it's Ultra Beauty is what it's called, but I never heard of that company. But yeah, that's what you call it. So let's take a little quick look at Roku. And I'm gonna share my screen here as well, that you guys and girls can kind of take a little sneak peek into looking at finances. Now, if you're a day trader, if you're somebody who just day trade, you don't care about this stuff, that's fine, right? So, okay, first thing I'm looking for is it has a $10 billion market cap. Don't mean a whole lot, but let's look at it's no PE. No, okay, so first strike to me, no PE ratio. If you don't have a PE ratio, that means the company's unprofitable. And at this time right now, no, I do not want an unprofitable company. I'm familiar with Roku. I will automatically look into what you call it, Netflix or other companies, because right now, unprofitable company. They had an amazing year last year until their bubble got popped towards the end of last year, but it's not a profitable company. So that's this right here would stop me automatically. No, I'm not signing up for the struggle bus. Ultra had way better looks, because I look at this, I already know the company's not profitable, and that's a no-go for me. But let's take a little small smidget inside of their finances, right? Over the last 3 years, their total revenue has been growing, which you can see here slightly. Their revenue has been growing. Their gross profits has been growing as well, which is good. Now you can see here, the interest expense is pretty high. As of last year, that means that they have a lot of debt on hand. That means they almost quadrupled their debt on hand. I can just look at interest expense, because that's the interest they are paying on what you call it. And right here, even though they're bringing in 1.1 million last year, by the time they pay for their operational expenses and they pay their taxes, they have a net income, a negative net income. So right now they're not even making money. So right, looking at the balance sheet from 2019, that's a no-go for me, ladies and gentlemen. Not signing up for the struggle bus. Nothing wrong with them, but I don't like companies that don't what you call it. You know what? Let me do a live. I think I have never really done a live on Instagram. Right? Yeah, give me a second. We haven't. Okay, so hi, Tech Monkey says hi, Prince. What's going on, Tech Monkey? Hi, Prince. Your opinion on SIVR? Let's take a look at SIVR. Now, granted, have I invested into a company that's not been profitable? Yes, but those are my wild boys. I was doing that when the economy was doing great. When the economy was doing great, like I did that with Uber, Tesla, and who was the other one? Space, right? There was like my little hot spicy stocks that, hey, they make and do great, but I knew if a downturn economy came, they really were going to get slammed, right? But that was a risk out. So I don't do, but like right now in a bear market, no. I'm picking up things that I like to call for show winners, for show dough. Right? So this is a silver ETF. Looking at this as a silver ETF, I would say yes. You can look at precious metals. I probably would go with gold over silver, IAU. So it's nothing wrong with having a little silver in your portfolio. I'm not against that. Let's see how AIU has been performing. Surprisingly, I haven't seen gold spike yet. Yeah, gold is at 15 bucks right now for this AIU ETF that tracks gold, but that's kind of weird to me. I thought gold would be doing a way bigger job right now. What company stock do you think is the most sound to buy? Silver company stock? Oh, you're talking about stocks that are in silver? I'm guessing you're talking about, right? Stocks and silver? Companies that focus on stocks. I don't know. I can't say that one off the top of my head. I'm not well versed on particular silver. Usually, when I go to the commodities world, I usually look at gold. What do you think about casino stocks? KS. Okay, let's take a quick look then. I know casinos have gotten beaten down lately, but right now I'm going to look at your 2019 to 2016 finances. That was a bull market. If you were sucking back then in 2019 and 2016, then of course I don't want anything to do with you. So let's take a look at, okay, $2.2 billion market cap. We're going to take a look at this one together, ladies and gentlemen. We're taking a look at a casino stock called KS. Okay. Total revenue, cost of revenue, total operating expenses, net income. So, okay. All right. So one thing I don't like right here is in 2017, they had $556 million in a net income. Well, I think it's $556,000 or whatever in a net income. And then it went up to $859 in 2018. Now I've seen a decline in 2019 and then a decline in 2020. Now, this is before the market crashed. As you can look up here, the date is January 31st. This is when the market was on an upswing. So what I'm looking at here from 2018 to now, I'm looking at a declining net income. This is the net. This is like after all the bills are paid. So why are you declining in net income? That's my first flag. I want to see income growing and growing and growing, especially in a bull market. Because now that all the casinos are closed, you are already, what this tells me, guys and girls, on the net income side, this tells me that this company was already declining in net income. Now, I don't know a whole lot about this company. Now, what I learned from Buffett, what he would always say is that when a company net income stagnates or starts to decline, that means that they're probably in a very competitive industry, right? So I want to go find a company that's able to grow, because that means that they probably got some type of competition over anybody else. So you know what? Y'all think I should go live? Let's see here. I might go live here on Instagram. I'm sorry about that. But y'all know this is the live experience, and the people that's catching the podcast, you know, maybe I'll do it another time, because on my Instagram, I just pretty much do playbacks. So anyway, when I look at this, the net income, ladies and gentlemen, at the top you have total revenue, and that's just like when all your money comes in. Let's say if you purchase a book from me, right? Total revenue may be $25, but at $26. But after I pay for shipping, after I pay for the book itself and to get to you, it may cost $18. It may cost about $20 for shipping and to create the book to get shipped to you. So my gross revenue is $25, but after I purchase the book and get it shipped to you, I'm down to $5, right? Or $4 or whatever the case may be. So that is the net. So I gross $25, but if I pay for everything, I net $5. And if I see a company where their net income is slowly decreasing in a bull market, if it's slowly decreasing, that could be a sign that a company could be on a downslope. It could not have a competitive advantage, and it could have a adverse, maybe someone else is beating them. Maybe someone else is taking it to their market. So now I'll be interested, and I will look at the whole industry to see. Well, I look at the top three big boys in the industry to see, are all of them experiencing a down slide in net income? And if they are, that may be an industry I may want to stay away from. So right there is a red flag to me. Net income, why are you declining at this time? It wouldn't be a risk I would take, because if I purchase you now, I feel as though you are already on a decline. Now that all the casinos have been closed probably for the next 2 months or 3 months, they're really going to be in a hurt locker. I don't want to play with you. Hope that helps. All right, let's get some more comments in. How you guys and girls doing today? Y'all checking in? Why is this thing acting? Okay. I don't know why I can't get my new comments coming in. But for the people that are coming in right now, One of the things we talked about, I'm going to give it a second to get my new comments to come in. So if you are commenting, give me a second for that to come up. So one of the things right now, y'all check out my new little cup, my little Investor Show cup. Shout out to my wife for the Investor Show cup. But the thing I wanted you guys to look at, we talked about the Consumer Confidence Index. And why was that important? The Consumer Confidence Index is put out by the Conference Board the first Tuesday of every month. And it's a survey that's held by 5,000 households. And what it does is it asks five basic questions of pretty much to see how or when people are not confident in the economy, they don't spend that much. If I don't know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow, if I don't know if my income is going to stop or go tomorrow, I'm not going to buy that house. I'm not going to be at the casino and I don't have a job if I don't know if I'm going to get laid off or whatnot. So they measure this to see what type of confidence that people have in their economy. So if you have very good confidence in your job, you may take that trip to Vegas. You may go spend money, right? You may go buy that car, buy that house. Go on vacation, go to the casino. You may buy more things. You may go clothes shopping or whatever the case may be when you're confident in your economy, right? So that came out today. That came out of Conference Board. And earlier what we were talking about for the people that are coming in live, I'm having a little hiccup here. I can't see all of the comments. It's telling me there. Y'all give me 1 second. If I I'm gonna refresh. There we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. Okay, now there we go. I just answered your question there, Lance. Kendrick Taylor says, Peter Skiff has to be pissed. Gold hasn't moved that much. Yeah, Peter, Peter was supposedly, I reached out to him to come onto the show a couple years ago, and we kind of spoke about it, and it just kind of fell through the roof, through the floor. It kind of fell through the floor, but he was supposed to come onto the show not too long ago, right? 1 second, I gotta get some more water. Hey, Wesley! Wesley! I gotta get some more water. But anyway, yes, Peter, he's a pessimist investor, I guess you would say. He was someone that always said economy was going to fall through the floor. He's been saying it for the last decade, and gold is going to shoot through the roof. And now you're seeing all this turmoil coming to the economy, and gold hasn't really shot through the roof. So, yes, I definitely could see him being pissed off. Jay Biz said, I'm so glad I grabbed SPY 250 puts at the top. So what he's saying is, Jay Biz is saying that the SPY 250 puts, SPY, that's the S&P 500. And he grabbed the 250, it's the strike price, and puts them when you're betting against the market. So he said he grabbed them at the top, and we've seen the market take some dives, so he's probably profitable right now. Haven't seen any, we see the big week last week, but we haven't seen anything big. This Thursday, we have the jobless claims reports, followed by Friday, the unemployment reports. Now the question is, are these numbers already baked into the, what you call it? Are these numbers already baked into the stock market? Do people already expect this? One second. So, yeah. So, that's good on you. JB said, I looked at him and didn't pull. What? Oh, you're so mad you didn't. Oh, I thought you said you did. I'm sorry, I misread that. He said he didn't grab SPY. He's mad. He said he looked at him but didn't pull the trigger. That's the other thing. You have so much knowledge. I can tell you guys and girls some of everything I want to tell you guys, right? But if that doesn't come out, right? If that doesn't... If you don't know how to apply the knowledge, I can read all the books, read all the data if I want. If I don't know how to apply this knowledge and what does it mean, then it's pretty much no good, right? Tech Monkey said, thank you. I love your YouTube channel. Thanks. Ashley, how's it going? I think Ashley is from Atlanta. Am I wrong, Ashley? Sorry if I'm wrong. But okay, Ashley Nielsen said, hi, Prince. What companies offer gold and silver stocks? You can get that through E-Trade. You can get through E-Trade and TD Ameritrade. You can purchase ETFs like AIU, right? You can purchase, 1 second, y'all. I'm getting like text messages left and right at the same time. That was, okay. So you can purchase GLD or IAU, India Alpha Umbrella, the unicorn, India Alpha Unicorn, IAU, that's a gold ETF. Or you can purchase GLD, which is GLD, Golf Lima Delta. Or you can just purchase a brick as well. Oh, Lance is saying ERI. 1 second, Lance. We'll come back to that, Lance. Let me get to everybody else's questions. Hi, Prince. Can corporations hold their financial reports to public until the coronavirus gets... What? Silver Lion saying, hi, Prince. Can corporations hold their financial reports to public until the coronavirus gets under control? No. Corporate earning reports are going to start coming out April 15th. They're going to start pouring in around April 15th. They're going to get hot at the end of April, beginning of May, and they're going to cool off by the end of May, meaning that all these companies are going to report. You got to report every quarter. If you can't take money from the public, and then that's why I like investing in publicly traded companies, because you have transparency, right? I invested in the companies, and then I have to worry about what's happening, you know, what's going on. But if you want to be publicly traded and you want to get money from the public, one of those stipulations are you must provide an annual report, you must provide quarterly reports, and you must provide factual data every time something big happens in your company. Like the vice president steps down, you buy stocks, you sell stocks, that has to be known to the public. So come every 3 quarters, they have to put out a financial statement. And at the end of the year, they got to put out an annual statement regardless. You can't say, hey, man, Corona going on, y'all hold off. No. Mm-mm. Now, if you was invested into your homeboy's Rib Shack, yes, he could not give you anything, and you end up having to sue him and all the other stuff like that. So I can't even say your name, but she says, I guess this is she, it's now a time to invest in index funds. I think index funds, the safest way to do it is consistently buy it. Don't worry about trying to catch the bottom. If you consistently buy one, you purchase on the first of the month or the 15th, or just the 15th of the month, whenever you get paid, you just purchase one index fund, continuously do that. And then once you see greater opportunities, you can buy more, but dollar cost average, just continuously buy. Don't look to say, if I knew exactly when the bottom was, I'd be a very, very wealthy man, but I don't know what the bottom is. I don't know what the top is. I got an idea. I can make speculations just like everybody else, but I really won't know. And the only way to really beat that is to continuously buy it over and over and over. And then once you see an opportunity, jump in. So if you have extra cash, put it in savings, put it in your brokerage account, stand by and wait. I think we're going to get closer to the bottom here. Maybe we have already hit the bottom on March 23rd when we was at 18,000, almost 17, I think, was the bottom. But that could have been the bottom, but we don't know right now. I think I want to see how bad this is. I think that a lot of what we're seeing today is already baked in maybe for April, because people are expecting President Trump came out and said, I'm going to extend the stay in the house law until April 30th. So everybody knows April is going to be a red month. Everybody is knowing that people are going to be unemployed. Companies that was making $30,000, restaurants that was making $30,000 a day are now making $3,000 a day, $500 a day, right? Like you just saw Metal World Peace say yesterday. But yeah. So it's going to be a bloody red month for April. And if we extend past April, that's when I can see us really starting to see a bottom. If we extend past April, I think that if we're not back to work in May, if things are not kind of turning back around, business not opening back up, vaccinations are not being discovered, then I think that I think that we'd have a big problem. But, you know, capitalism is going to get us out of this. Why I say that? Because if I was in the healthcare industry and I was in the vaccination world, right? Then I would be the first person, right? I would be the first person to try to go out. I mean, trying to discover a vaccination for COVID-19 so fast, right? That's what made the market go up yesterday, because Johnson & Johnson said they had some type of portion. So she says, LOL. All right, we got Kevin. Kevin said, my plan is to buy twice, this Friday, unemployment report, and early May earnings report. Now, to think about it, we got unemployment on Friday. Unemployment numbers are going to come out Friday. And come Thursday, we're going to have a Jobless Claims Act. So the Jobless Claims Act is going to be a prelude into the earning reports to our unemployment number. So unemployment might jump up to 10 or 15%, 20. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a crazy number. But how you can get burned on that, Kevin, this Friday, the numbers could not be as bad as everybody expected. A lot of people are getting paid even though they're not doing anything. So it could turn around and not be as bad as some people expect. So that's another way too. But we'll just have to wait and see how that turns out. Walk one, what's going on? Should I keep holding my cash and wait for a bigger drop before buying? I would say yes, right? If you feel like you're missing out, you can buy a little bit, like dollar cost averaging while you wait. But think about it. I'm not trying to pick the exact bottom. I just want to see how bad this situation really is. How bad is unemployment for the month of March? How bad unemployment will be for April? Guys and girls, listen. Everything didn't start kicking off until halfway through March when we started really shutting everything down. So we're only going to see about 2 weeks versus everything shutting down. Now, if we shut down, President Trump just came down and pushed us down for April too. If we do this for April as well, what do you think is going to happen to unemployment numbers? Right? So if you think March unemployment numbers are going to be bad on Friday, what do you think April unemployment numbers are going to look like? So I want to see how bad this is going to look, and I can't really make that judgment until I see these unemployment numbers, until I see these corporate earnings, and I can see how fast this whole vaccine, we need to peak. First of all, we need to peak in deaths. We need to peak in deaths or whatnot and start the decline. Once we can peak and start the decline, and I can look at these corporate earnings and this unemployment and maybe a possible vaccination and America getting back in business, that's when I can see everything change. Bones says, hey, buddy, love your show. How do you feel about AAL? That is United Airlines. Let's take a look at a line, United Airlines, AAL. Wesley. You want to tell everybody, hey?
Yeah.
So, well, they can't see. You got a green shirt on. They can see just a little bit of you. But they can see your face. Lean down and tell everybody, hey.
Hey.
It's right here. You got to look here.
Well, I'm manager.
Because you're green. But anyway, this is what I need you to do. Don't do that. Oh, you want to take it off?
Look.
Take it down. Pull it all the way down. Take it off. So they can see your shirt. Say everybody, hey, look at them. See?
Hey.
All right. This is what I need you to do. Dump that out, rinse that out, and bring me some water out of the refrigerator, okay? Okay. Dump it out. Don't forget to rinse it out, all right? Okay. Bring me some water. Appreciate it. Thanks. Let's look at AAL, everybody. That is Wesley. That's my son there. Okay, this is American Airlines. I was about to say American Online. Let's take a look at their finances. Now, it was American Airlines or United Airlines that always experienced a lot of bankruptcies, you know, in the airline industry. So, when I look at them, total income net, no. So, look at American Airlines. This is a thing that I don't like about them, right? Look at their 2016 net income. Their 2016 net income was $2.6 million. And then in 2017, they dropped down to 1.9 million. Then in 2018, they dropped down to 1.4 million, right? And then in 2019, they've kind of had a little nudge up in 1.6 million. Ladies and gentlemen, this is when a bear market was going on. You can see their net income after their take-home pay, pretty much their take-home pay, is slowly declining. I don't like that. Now let's also look at their balance sheet. Let's see how much money they got in the bank. All right. Another thing, look at their total cash. In 2016, they had $6.3 million. Then in 2017, they declined to $5 million. 2018, they declined to $4.7 million. And then now in 2019, they declined to $3.8 million. And this is in a bull market. Now imagine what they're looking like in 2020, right? I don't like that either. Total assets, $59 million. Okay. So when I look at this, thank you. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you my dog. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Refrigerator?
Mm-hmm. You get inside the refrigerator or the sink?
On the refrigerator.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. I don't want no sink water, Wes. Thanks. I'll talk to you when you got done with the show. So anyway, you look at the total liabilities. One thing I don't like. Look at their total assets. They have a total assets of $59 million and their total liabilities of $6 million, bringing their total stockholders' equities to a negative, right? So their network is negative. So they have a negative network. They have declining cash, declining take-home pay with a negative network. Don't like it. I will look elsewhere into the industry. I will look at Southwest Airlines, and I will look at Delta Airlines as well. LK Raw, what's going on, LK? I was expecting a huge drop today, but hey, what do I know? The Fed did say they will spend whatever it takes to keep the economy afloat. Whatever, they just wrote a check for $2 trillion last week, and that gave us a little joke, but how long is that going to last? Johnson, what do you think about BAC stocks? That's Bank of America. Not right now, not in the crisis. They will do well over long term, but not right now. I think you're going to get a better price if you wait on Bank of America. I used to hold Bank of America for a while. Right when we started to take these dips, I sold it because I still was up on it. So I just went ahead and sold. I think I had brought it for like, I still have some of it in one of my portfolios. Maybe I did think I sold all of them. But yeah. I had it in the teens, and it went up to like the 30s, so it was doing great in the bull market, but they haven't been doing way too well lately. Ashley, I'm sorry about that, Ashley. Ashley's from Oakland. I'm sorry about that, Ashley. Oakland, the Bay Area. To Sue, hey, I'm from Oakland too. Oh, nice. We got two people from Oakland. The Bay Area in the house. We got Ashley and I can't even say your name there. Tashu are from Oakland. LK Raw, I got those puts last night, and they weren't that profitable. Every day before opening, the market seems to make this huge run. Then sell B and CO off at closing. Seems suspect to me. So in the morning of the day, people make this big run, then it falls off. Hold on to it. Just wait. I know she said it seems pretty suspect. Did they make this big run and sell off it during the day? Beef, that's my guy, Beef. He coming in from, I love his profile picture. Look at his profile picture. So Beef, he's Providence, Rhode Island. So he said, I knew the market was going to drop, so I grabbed the Fidelity Total Market Fund as well as the bond fund. I'm grabbing bonds. I don't think about bonds because of the low interest rate society. That's what kind of affects us a little bit. You know, I'm going to try this one time. Let me go live on Instagram. If I remember how to go live on Instagram. Wait. Oh. Well, you know what? I don't even got a stance to hold it. I can't hold the phone, so I'll do that another time. Nice, nice. Okay, Johnson said... Any suggestions for stock paying dividends right now? Microsoft pays dividends. Apple pays dividends. If you're really a dividend person, AT&T, look at the Dividend Kings. The Dividend Kings, if I'm not mistaken, is you got the Dividend Aristocrats. That's like 25 years. Dividend Kings are 50 years. Companies that pay dividends for 50 years, and not only paid them, but the dividends actually rose for 50 years. That's where I would start. Sorry about that. For the people that's catching the podcast, I didn't mean to do that. When you go public as a company, do you have no choice but to show? Yes. Yes, J-Biz. When you go public as a company, you have no choice but to show your earnings. You're right. I thought J-Biz was asking that, but he just reiterating. Okay, we got the Bay Area in the house. I went to the Bay once, but I only went to the Golden State Bridge, took a picture, and went back to the airport. I just do the, when I go to a new city, like I was just in, not just in, but I was in New York City. I think that wasn't a new city for me. I've been in New York a couple of times. When I go to places like New York, I go to 42nd Street, which is Times Square. I hang out there. I may venture off a little bit, but I'm not all in Brooklyn and in Harlem and boroughs unless I know somebody from there. So if I go to Hollywood, I go to Hollywood Boulevard. If I go to Atlanta, well, I know some people in Atlanta, but I go around, you know, I'm a little bit more comfortable because I'm from Georgia. So, but if I go to different cities, I really go to the main drag. If I go to New Orleans, I'm going to go to Bourbon Street, Canal Street, and I don't venture too far out from that. I'm not from there. I don't know the people. People don't know me, and I'm not trying to, you know, no, I'm not trying to keep it real. I'm just trying to keep it too real. So, yeah, I've been out to the Bay before, but only really the Golden State Bridge and some other little touristy stuff. That's it. JB is just saying SEC rules. He's 100% right. SEC rules, if you're a publicly traded company, if you want to take money from the public, you got to keep your stuff public. If you don't want to be public, stay private. All right, where we at? Beef, load up on some MJ ETF marijuana stock and all the weed ticklers like Hecto and ACB. The Simpsons called this fake coronavirus. All right. Ashley said, thank you, Prince, anytime. Okay, so that's J-Biz talking to him. Kendrick says, about 2 months ago somehow, the bank made a mistake on pre-64 quarters, about $40 worth at the cigar lounge, managed to get a roll with a $10 coin. Kendrick, I'm kind of lost on that one. Vallejo, California, is in the building. Okay, Lance, what's going on? He said, Prince, you said the Dow was going to 14,000 is the absolute bottom, right? 15,000, absolute bottom. And to be honest with you guys and girls, I think we would have got there if we didn't have those circuit breakers, right? Because I think right now we had like 21,000 on the Dow, and the lowest we got was like 14 to 17,000. And I can see as 15,000 is the absolute bottom. Anything below 14, 15, I would be... That would scare me. But hey, Beef, we got a long way to go, right? If we can't get these coronavirus cases under control and America can't get back to work, 14,000, here we come. You heard it right here. We are in World War III. Yeah, you could say that in a way. Al said, I've been doing that a bit. Just dollar cost averaging, buying a little bit at a time. What's going on, Al? I think Al's out in Chicago. Depends on how much cash you have and how comfortable you're with putting. That's my long-term view. Yes, very long-term view. I'm looking at us going into the long-term, right? Going into the long-term, yes, you're 100% right. Depends on how much cash you have on hand and what you want to put. Oh, they're laughing at Wes. Ha ha, nice kid. Yep. He said, your backup. Yep, that's little Wes. Same thing I thought, maybe swing. Okay. J-Biz is saying Delta. I'm thinking that's when I was talking about the, what you call it, stock. He said Delta stock is the best. All right. Tom Penny, short BA. Short BA? Why you want a short BA? You think BA ran up too much? the thing about BA was at like $400 something before all this happened. It was sitting pretty at $300-$400 before all this craziness happened. So yes, it shedded big time all the way down to $6. I think it'll be back. I wouldn't short it. I'm sorry. Not me. Unless you're very, very risky. And if you're that risky, you deserve every reward that you get. But I wouldn't short BA because I know it's a good, strong company. Of course, it's sucking right now because of everything that's going on. Plus, it's in the airline. It's connected to the airline industry. But it's the number two back company. It could take a dip if the whole market takes a dip. But if we figure out this corona thing that's going on, America gets back to work and people start turning profits, I think you could get burned very bad. And the thing about when you short a stock is you have a limited downside. I mean, you have a limited amount of money you can make, but you can get burned big time, right? That's another thing. If I say something, I stand up to it. If I say something I believe in, right? I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. But if I say something, I believe in it, and I have my reasons to believe it, I stand on it. Call me out on it, right? All right, here we go. Mr. Lawman, what do you think about Macy's stock? Oh, my goodness. Retail, brick and mortar retail, no. Macy's was struggling. JCPenney was struggling back when everything was doing good. I'm not messing with that. Oh, he's talking about the marijuana industry. Marijuana industry, I'm just, one second. Oh, the marijuana industry that Beef is talking about here, I'm not too keen on the marijuana industry just due to the fact of I don't know who the big boys are. Not yet. Like, you look at the soft drink industry, it's no question who the big boys are. You look at the soft drink industry, you got Coca-Cola, Pepsi. You look at the airline industry, you got Delta, Southwest Airlines. You look at the sneaker world, you know, you got Nike and Adidas. If you look at the supermarket retail world, you know, you got Target and Walmart. So fast food, you got McDonald's. So a tech world, Apple, Microsoft. So some companies or some industries, you know who the big boys are. And the marijuana industry is still kind of lacking that lackluster of who's going to be the big guy. And they will come out. They will come. JB says they're dying on the books, though. Check the IIPR. It's a reef that leases our medical growth facilities. That's where the money is. REITs is a real estate investment trust. He's talking about IIPR. He said they leases to they own the facilities where they grow the marijuana and then leasing it to the marijuana companies. So I'm not familiar with IIPR. I'm not very big in the REITs. I do believe them. I just haven't really sat down and got into them. If you are, we just had on Forbes Real Estate Investment Trust guy, Mr. Brad Thomas. Brad Thomas came on. You can go back and look at his episode where he talked about REITs big time. That's what he does. Brad Thomas, he came on to the show. Definitely a friend of the show. He said they're going up 100% YOY, year over year. Okay, so he's saying yes to IIPR. Okay, that's Beef and J-Biz. They're talking to each other. I'm going to stay out of their conversation. Sean. All right. He's saying T will have dividends at 52 cents per share. Expiration dividend date of 4/8. So that means that you have to buy T, which is AT&T stock. You have to buy T AT&T stock by April 8th, which is next week. You got to buy by April 8th. You have to be on books before you can get the next dividend payout. I know AT&T is a dividend aristocrat, but it's not a dividend king. That means AT&T has paid dividends for over 25 years, and not only paid dividends over 25 years, they actually have risen their dividends consistently for 25 years through recessions and all other good stuff like that. So there you go, AT&T. Okay, so last question, do you trade Twix? I'm thinking you're talking about VIX, volatility, right, Beef? No, I don't mess with that. I don't mess with that too crazy. No, I don't do it. VIX is volatility. I mean, as the market is swinging, volatility is going up. Oh, Shan from Memphis says, hey, Wesley. Yes, that was Wesley, everybody. C Lane, thanks for all you do. I'm working and saving, waiting patiently, and will splurge when the time is right. That is right. And if you want to be smarter, right? if you want to be smarter, buy a little bit now, C-Lane. Buy a little bit now. Save up your cash. Keep your capital going. Save up a little bit now. Buy a little bit as you go along, but buy more when the opportunity is right. J-Biz, boy, them circuit breakers save that 401ks. Yes, like Beef said earlier, Prince, you said we was going to 14K. I said I knew our bottom, I would expect our bottom to be somewhere between 15 to 19K. And below 14K, that was like the worst of the worst, right? And I believe if them circuit breakers didn't get hit, for everybody out there that's wondering about those circuit breakers, if we have a decline of 7% on the S&P 500, they automatically stop trading. I mean, everybody keeps selling, and I don't know how many times those circuit breakers been hit this month. 5 or 6 times. And if they wasn't hitting, if they wasn't stopping people from trading, man, everybody 401k would have been, I don't know where. Marcel, he said, I'm 18 years old, and what should I invest my money in? Greetings from Mexico. Okay. Marcelo from Mexico. He says 18 years old. What should he invest his money? Marcelo, I'm going to tell you like I've been telling everybody else. I don't know your whole financial picture. I don't know if you got a wife and the kids in college, debt. I don't know your whole financial picture, right? So I can't really give you an idea if I don't know your whole financial picture. But I would say on the investing side of the house, if you don't have a 401k with your job, I think you should start a 401k, a Roth IRA. I'm not sure how it works in Mexico, but you should at least start a Roth IRA. And if you can't start a Roth IRA because you're overseas, open up a brokerage account. You can do that with TD Ameritrade. You can do that with E-Trade. You can do that with Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab is buying up everybody anyway. Build your brokerage account. And if I was you, I would invest into America. You can buy the Total Market, which is TWIX, if I'm not mistaken. That's a Total Market Index Fund by Vanguard. Or you can just go with American companies, SPY. Right. I would buy the index over and over and over, starting for now, little by little. So I would save up cash, keep cash built up, start with indexes first, because you're less likely to be wrong with index. If you jump in the game and go out here and buy Delta, American owned airlines, or, you know, random marijuana stocks, you have just increased your chances of failing big time. And don't be cheap. Everybody want to get stocks that are a dollar, a penny. I understand you want cheap stocks, but you don't want cheap quality. Most of the things up under $10 is of cheap quality. I'm just being honest, right? Let's take Microsoft. Microsoft has $150 a day. I'm pretty sure maybe it was at $105. Maybe it was $100. Maybe it was a dollar some years ago. But I guarantee you the person who bought it for a dollar and the person who bought it for $20 are not complaining, right? All right. Y'all give me 1 second. Oh, we got a donation. Bones. Bones donated $2,000 to the channel. I definitely appreciate that, Bones. But this is what I tell everybody that donate to the channel. Instead of donating to the channel, go off and purchase a copy of the Wesley Learns book series. For $2, you can download an audio book from iTunes, Audible, whatever audio platform that's out there. You can download an ebook for $1, $2, whatever it is, or whatever. But I would rather the money go there than it go to me. I'm okay. I appreciate your donations to the channel. And I definitely appreciate you supporting the show. But I would rather you guys and girls go and support the Wesley Learns book series. Also, if you would like an autographed copy. Now, granted, I only have the second book, right? I only have the second book. I'm sorry to tell everybody. I only have Wesley Learns About Credit. I have about 3 copies on hand. So appreciate everybody, Miss Butterscotch and everybody, Max B, Mario Evans, everybody that came in and y'all pretty much bought up all my books I had on my hand. So I do have Wesley Learns About Credit on hand. If you would like an autographed copy, please send me an email to prince@childrensfinancialliteracy.com and I will send you an invoice to be able to go out and buy a copy. So definitely shout out to Bones for donating to the channel. But for anybody else out there that would like to support me, the channel, anything that I do monetarily, I would rather you buy the book series. You can get an ebook, audio book. It's pretty dirt cheap. You know, well, not everything is cheap, but an audio book, an ebook is pretty cheap. And that's the way you can contribute to what I do. The reason why I prefer that, I'm an independent person. I write and produce myself. And as you guys purchase and buy, that's what helps me grow. All right. So let's get back to it. Where were we at? Here we go. But if somebody does donate, I automatically go down to the comment because it sticks out. Jay Biz, Prince, what do you think about Jack not going anywhere in a solid dividend? Let me see what Jack is. I'm thinking Jack in the Box. It is Jack in the Box. Oh, it jumped up 12% today. Why did it jump 12% today? Did it have earnings or something? Let's take a look here. Financials. Jack in the Box. Let's take a look at it together. The only downside with Jack in the Box is, you know, with me doing this finance look, quick look, I can't compare it to McDonald's or something like that, but me, I'm a McDonald's person. Okay. So I look at this and say total revenue has been dropping since 2016. And let's take a look at it together, ladies and gentlemen, so y'all can see this together. This is on Yahoo Finance. And for everybody that's coming in tomorrow, we will have Andy Sori, the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance, will be on tomorrow at 2 p.m. The editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance, this is the guy who sits down with Warren Buffett every year. He's the guy you always see with Yahoo Finance and Buffett, and he controls all the content that comes on Yahoo Finance. He's a friend of the show, a friend of mine, and he'll be on tomorrow so y'all guys and girls can stop by, ask him some questions, all that great stuff. So we're going to be talking about some good stuff. We're going to be talking about this market. He's been around for a long time, and I want to hear his thoughts and opinions. So y'all give a shout-out. Come through and support Andy Sori. Yahoo Finance will be in the building tomorrow. They have confirmed. All right. Here we go. So let's take a look right here. We see... We're looking at their total revenue. Their total revenue back in 2016 was $1.5 million, and they had $1.5 million in 2017. But in 2018, we've seen a drop with a slight increase in 2019. Now, they could have put out quarterly earnings and done pretty well, which I haven't looked into. That's probably why they jumped up 12% today, I would assume, right? Let's see how much money they are netting. How is the net? So the net is slightly dropping over the years. Net income is slightly dropping, right? So let's do a quick analysis. Let's look at McDonald's, MCB. That's someone who's in the same fast food place. All right, let's go to their financials. All right, you can look at their total revenue, way higher, $24 billion, of course, because it's way more expensive too. But theirs have been dropping as well. $24 million, $22 million, $21 million, right? Has their net income been dropping? No. You see right here, JBiz, look at their net income. Why is McDonald's in 2016? They was making $4.6 million. In 2017, they made $4.1 million. In 2018, they made $4.9 million. In 2019, they made $6 million. Why is their net income growing year over year while Jack in the Box is dropping? First question I got to look at. Now, I could go a little bit deeper, but I'll look at that, and that's somebody that's in your industry. So, what's up, Big Wes? Hey, what's going on? I took a shower. You took a shower?
Yeah.
What? That's what I'm talking about. You want to tell everybody hey again?
Hey.
See, I said the microphone. Got to say hey.
Hey.
They can't see you, Wes. Say hey.
Hey. How you doing, guys? Nice to meet you.
Okay. All right, Wes. Oil stocks, no. I don't like oil because I don't look at the demand for oil is growing. I want something where the demand is growing, right? I want the demand is growing. I don't see the demand growing. Chick-fil-A taking everybody money. That is true. AT&T or Verizon. That's a tough one. I have to compare their finances, but AT&T It all depends on what type of investor you are. If you're a growing person, I think Verizon will grow more, but I think AT&T is a more sturdier company if you're looking for dividends. Jay Biz, he's laughing. He said, Chick-fil-A is taking everybody money. There we go. Peter Forever. What's up, Prince? Love the show. Watch every episode. That's what I'm talking about. That's love right there. I appreciate that. Phoenix, Arizona. Say he's watching every episode, right? Amber Mo said, hi, Wesley. Yep, that's Wesley, everybody. He hears my voice down in my downstairs in my basement in my slash office, and he has the, you know, this section here is where I shoot everything, and then I have a little study library. Then I have a couch and TV, all of the good stuff like that or whatnot. What should I spend my time on? This is Marcellus from Mexico. You should be researching. Build a watch list. What I mean by build a watch list, pretty much download, if you have apps, download apps like CNBC, Yahoo Finance. I like MarketWatch, CNBC, Yahoo Finance. Those are some companies that come top of my head. Then you can build a watch list. A watch list is like a wish list. Like, you remember people used to put things on clearance? I forgot what that was called back in the day. Layaway. Put everything on layaway. Put some companies that you may like. Find out what you like first, Marcelo. What are you very good at? What do you know better than everybody else? Maybe you like games. So if you like games, or if you like technology, if you like real estate, whatever you have a competitive advantage on, start with that industry. If you know restaurants very well, right, and you know right now restaurants are being demolished because of the coronavirus, you know restaurants very well, start looking into McDonald's, start looking at Jack in the Box. Kind of saw what I just did. Look into the industry. Inside of that industry, you're going to find some things that you're smarter on than I am. You may realize that, hey, Prince, in this particular industry, this is how this works. So whatever industry you know, whether it's games, whether it's clothes, restaurants, real estate, find you a sector. Become smart on that sector. Look up the study that sector. Let that sector become part of you, right? Learn how to, by tuning into the show, how I was just showing you guys and girls, who are the big guys in that industry that you like? You like technology? Who are the big guys? How are they performing? How the little guys are performing, right? Start there, and I would build a watch list. I would save my money, build a watch list. Pretty much, a watch list could be Apple, Boeing, whatever it could be, whatever companies you like, and you start to watch those particular companies, right? JBiz says solar. Solar of the future. Yeah, I believe solar, but I think solar falls into that energy sector. I would, since I'm not smart enough to know the whole energy sector, I would just purchase XLE. That's X-ray, Lima, Echo. I'll just purchase the whole freaking sector because I know the sector is going to do well, but picking the exact company, I'm not smart enough for that in that industry. TTWU Podcast. What's going on over there? I'm going to check y'all guys' podcast out. He said, I love your show. What are your thoughts on TSLA? TSLA is Tesla, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And I brought Tesla at $600. Right when his earnings came out, I brought it for $600. Sold some at $1,900. Sold some at $9,000. Not $9,000, but $900. Then it dropped back down to like $600 again. I brought some more. And now it just went kaklook. But when the economy started going, they're an unprofitable company. They're going to struggle. They're going to struggle for a little bit. I think you're going to get a better price on them if you just wait it out a little bit. The market, I think, has cooked in April losses. Everybody is expecting April to be a loss. But if we go beyond April, I think we're going to see some more turmoil in the market. That's my opinion. So with Tesla, if I didn't already hold Tesla, I would not be looking at buying Tesla right now because there are more financially sturdy companies you could be looking at. Tesla is not profitable. You know what? Let's look at Tesla. TTWU Podcast. Let's look at Tesla. This is Yahoo Finance I have, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody can use Yahoo Finance. It's open. And to say again, editor-in-chief Andy Sorrell would be on test. Oh, it's at $500. I didn't even know it came back up that far. when the market started going down, I had Tesla at like 600. I'm just like, whoo, it's going to be a nice little ride. But I knew that going into it. I have Uber as well. Those was my spicy boys that wasn't profitable, but I wanted to give them a chance. So let's take a look at their finances. So right here, the total revenue has been growing. Very good right here. Look at the top line here. They went from $7 million in 2016 all the way to 2019 of $24 million, right? That's big, big time. I love that. Good job. Cost of revenue. We're going to look at, okay, so how much you guys, after you pay for everything, how much you are taking off? I mean, how much you're bringing home? But look at the net income losses, right? Look at these losses down here. They're bringing in, it was just like, imagine if you got a next door neighbor that's bringing in $1 million a year, but because of his lifestyle, he's negative. But if you have somebody who's not as making as much money, so I don't like that. They're negative once they get through paying all their bills. So good, you brought $24 million in last year, but once you got through paying all your bills, you are at a negative $800-something thousand. So, but your stock is $500, right? So, but the good thing is, look at this net income. It's slowly going down. Well, not really. It went up in 2017, then slowly kind of going down. This could be an indicator that your industry is very competitive and it's hard to turn a profit, right? It's very competitive. So when you're in a very competitive industry, it could be very hard to turn a profit. So I like companies that have growing net income. I want to see revenue growing. I want to see net income growing. So when I look at this, I look at a negative net income, I'm automatically suspect. Yes, you're making more money, but you're spending more money. So now, can this company turn a profit? Can it make it? That's my outlook on Tesla. So that's very risky. And I've just showed you companies like McDonald's and Apple and Microsoft who has growing revenues, growing net incomes. You know, for example, why would I take the risk on this, right? And another thing that you can look at research and development. This is a company, you want a company with research and development. Look how much money they're increasing and putting in research and development. I used to look at this and say, oh, this means that this company is dedicating itself to be ahead of the market. And as I got wiser and learned and read more books, I learned this actually could be a bad thing. Because if a company has to keep re-innovating itself, it's going to spend a lot of money on research and development. Versus if you look at a company like McDonald's, how much research and development is going into a Big Mac? What has McDonald's done over the last 10 years? They said, oh, you know what? How about we serve you two Big Macs, right? How about we serve you two large fries? You know what I mean? So that's what happened. That's the thing I look at, and that's the thing I like to look at everything, all right? What else we have here? So that's why. That's my take on them. And another thing you're looking at with them is, let's look at their debt right here. What I have highlighted, this is their expense, interest expense, right? You see that their interest expense is growing. That means they're calculating more debt. So you're making more money, but you're assuming more debt, and you can't turn a profit. It's very risky right now, especially in a bear market. I think you can get some better things. Hopefully that makes sense, TTU Podcast. Thank y'all guys for tuning in. JB said Tesla, say they're sending ventilators, pump them today. Oh, okay. They're sending ventilators. Okay, cool. Like I said, entrepreneurship is going to fix Corona. You best believe if I knew how to make masks and hand sanitizer, and I was in that type of business, man, I'd be in the game big time. Those pharmaceutical companies are working overtime trying to come up with a solution for this. The Nikkei 225, the index of Japan's largest companies. Yes, that's the Nikkei is the index. Here in the United States, we have the S&P 500. They have the Nikkei in Japan. Index is the largest companies. Reached its peak in 1989, and 3 decades later, still isn't even close to new normal, similar to what's happening here too. Woo! Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully we get over this, Al. TTU said, thanks, Prince. Appreciate your time. Would love to have you on the show someday. Ilgen, Illinois? Yeah, definitely. Shoot me an email at Prince, P PRINCE at childrensfinancialliteracy.org. Hit me up on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I tweet, but I ain't on Twitter. But yeah, definitely let me know and we'll make it happen. Cool. Nancy Neal, what is better, an investor or a trader? Come on, Nancy Neal. But anyway, Nancy Neal said, which is better, investor or a trader? Long-term investors always beat traders, right? You look at somebody like Warren Buffett, who's the most successful stock investor of all time, and he's a buy and hold guy. You know, he buy a bunch of companies because he got a lot of cash flow coming from other businesses. He buy a bunch of stocks and then just hold them forever. And when you look at day traders only about 95%. Now, I want to say 95% of day traders don't even turn a profit. So only the 5 or 6% of day traders really win. And, you know, somebody who's going in and out of the market every day, they're less likely to be wrong, right? So the long-term investor always beat traders, statistically speaking. Jay Biz, you say traders? Why do you say traders, Jay Biz? Well, I'm talking about long-term. Yes, in a day. If you buy Apple today and sell it today, yes, you're going to make more profit, but you stretch it out over 10, 20 years, and you look at all the best traders in the world, do you look at all the long-term investors in the world, those long-term investors got that baton. Y'all let me know if I'm wrong. All right. But anyway, guys and girls, we've been on here. I had a nice little evening with you guys and girls for coming on, talking on the show. I'll be back tomorrow interviewing Andy Sori again. I feel like I'm promoting a radio station or something. But I'll be back here tomorrow. Talking market news. We're going to have Andy Sori from Yahoo Finance, editor-in-chief. He is going to be here in live. He's going to be talking about his recent sit-down with Buffett. He sits down with Buffett every year. You know, every time you watch a Buffett interview, it's only two people, really, which is Becky Quick from CNBC and Andy Sori. So Andy Sori is going to come on. He's the editor-in-chief of Yahoo Finance. See what he's talking about. See what he has to say. So Sean said trade and invest. Yes, you're right. You're 100% right. Let's get into this. Al says, yes, be a long-term investor has worked for me wonderfully. Yes, long-term. JB said, all right, Prince. Yes, short-term traders win. But in the long-term, investors always usually win. Now, the best in the world can trade and invest at the same time, right? It takes more skills to trade than invest. Like somebody can just go in there and be like, index fund, buy. Every first of the month, index fund, buy, boom. And they can beat a trader with all these charts and computers and analytics and knowing the bottoms and the shoulders and the heads and using sleepless nights, beating up their computer during the day. And somebody could just be like, buy, and do that for 10 or 20 years and smoke a trader. That's the truth. So it's something that my dad used to tell me when I was a kid. He's like, Prince, you're so smart till you're dumb. He used to tell me all the time. I used to be so smart. He'd be like, son, Prince, you're so smart till you're dumb. So some people are so smart till they're dumb. They know everything about Apple, when it's going to move, and this and this and this, but they seem to cannot make a profit. But the people that can make an investment, because a fundamental person reads investments, and they make investments like that. A trader is just looking for movement. Trader wants movement, and an investor is looking at the fundamentals. But if you can marriage those two, Sean, man, you will be a monster. I haven't seen anybody like that, but if you can do that, you're a monster, right? So here we go. Thanks, Prince. Silver Lion said. Al said, yes, both is better. Yes, you're a monster. Jay Biz said, I do both, but trading futures and options with risk management is the skill, easy money. Yes. If you can manage the skill, yeah, you can get some quick, easy, because you got to think about it. And an investor is someone, a trader is someone who's trying to make money. An investor is trying to grow money, right? I do a little bit of both, but what I do, I may use options or I may use, you know, leveraged ETFs, right? But that's someone who wants cash flow. A technical person, a trader is someone who's short-term, they want cash flow. A long-term person is trying to grow money. They may want dividends. They're trying to defer. They don't care about making money today or tomorrow. They're looking at 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line. Al said, yep, the difference between wisdom and smart. You're right. right? And it was my dad used to say that between me and my brother. Like, I had an older brother that was like, I got three older brothers, but my brother right next to me was 3 years older. And I was always witty, right? I was very smart, but I didn't know how to apply it. So I think maybe I wasn't challenged enough when I was a kid, but it was a little bit hard for me to focus. But when I was a kid, I knew I could hear something one time and it'd be over. But I wouldn't go home and do my homework. I didn't want to apply myself. So my dad would teach me and my brother something. I would catch it like that, right? And my dad would have to say it 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And I used to always like, Dad, I'm more smart than him. He's like, Prince, you're so smart till you're dumb because your brother's getting better grades than you. Because my brother used to get better grades than me, even though I was smarter, right? But that's why I tell people, you could be so smart till you're dumb. Mr. MC, is it over? No, it's not over. I think we got to wait. We got to see. We got to see the coronavirus peak. We got to see the unemployment numbers, and we got to see these corporate earnings reports. Al said, LOL, one of my older brother knows facts, figures, was a straight A student. He is near the streets these days. Wow. Yeah. So I had a lot of smarts, but I didn't know how to apply it. But my brother wasn't that smart, but he'd be on the honor roll. I never made the honor roll. So my brother knew how to, you know, you can have all this knowledge and read all these books, but you don't know how to apply it. So you're a smart dummy. Right, you can go in here and try to learn all this. You could go in here and try to learn all of this information and know how to do all this other stuff. And you can have somebody over here like, index fund, first of the month, index fund, index fund. And 20 years from now, they'll smoke you. And you in here doing all this trading, got all these fancy reports. You got a Bloomberg terminal, you got 4 or 5 monitors hanging all over your house, you got all this other stuff like that. And they'll smoke you, and then you'll feel crazy. Al says, LOL. TTW podcast, love option traders. Okay, appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. That's good stuff. I'm gonna look y'all up too. TTU podcast. Al said, I'm stealing the smart dummy. Yeah, I did an episode on Dumb Genius. I think it was the smart dummy and the dumb genius. I did an episode on that, and it was talking about this guy who had autism. I grew up with. I thought this guy had autism, he was a weirdo. And I knew this other guy who was pretty smart, and he was a football player. The football player went out to the NFL, went to a Division I school, went out to the NFL, made millions of dollars, and blew it all, right? Versus the guy who was, like, slightly autistic, he went to work at Walmart. And he stayed in contact with me. And when I would go home, he would say, hey, Prince, will you come by my house? And I'd go to his house, and this guy had a nice house. Dude had 2 houses. You know, but what he was doing as he was working at Walmart, you know, he was saving this money, and he was a single man. He saved up his money, purchased a house that was within his means, and paid that house off, you know, just put all his money into it because he kind of stayed to himself, paid his house off, and he was on his second house. And I think he was renting out the first house, or he had sold it or something like that. And I was like, at all, I'm like, what? And it's, you know, it didn't go to, he went to, I think he got like a little trade. And while he was working, he worked at Walmart for about a decade, a little bit over a decade. And then another company walked in, saw him working at Walmart. He went somewhere else and did some great stuff. So I this football player that went off to Division I school, played football for about 8 years or something, made millions and millions of dollars. He's back home broke. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. So I did a thing called, I think it was called A Dumb Genius. And the smart dummy, I can't remember what it was called, but it was something like that. That's where it came from. And JB said, LOL, yeah. Al said, yes, I know people like that, a little bit at a time, steady. Yeah, steady, steady, steady. All he did was just, I said, man, what did you do? You sell drugs? He was like, man, I just worked at Walmart. I worked overtime. I didn't really have a life. So I just worked at Walmart, saved up some money, was able to buy me a little cheap house, wasn't nothing fancy to it. I lived in that house. I doubled up on the payments. I put all my money into it. And, you know, the house is paid off. And while I was working at Walmart one day, a guy thought I was a good worker, offered me another job at another factory, and went over to another factory, made more money, paid that house off, got me a new house. I'm sitting in this dude's house like, are you serious? And a jock in school that went out to the NFL, you know, he's like, hey, Prince, man, you think you let me hold $50? I'm like, what? So that's how it happens sometimes. Yeah, he said those Hollywood celebrities who are broke often are athletes. Yeah, because the what happens with athletes, they get it so fast, right? It's like fried chicken versus pot roast. So what happens is a businessman, take me for example, I can't play ball. I can't jump high. I don't run fast. I don't tell jokes. I'm not a comedian. I'm not an actor. I'm not an entertainer, right? So, but I do have a brain. So since I have a brain, with me, it takes a long time for me to get to the top. I got to take the stairs. Versus an athlete, a guy who's 6'8", can jump through the ceiling, run, and is athletic, he's going to get to millions by the time he's 20. It's the story of the tortoise and the hare, remember? He's going to take the elevator to the top. So guess what? When you take the elevator to the top, you miss all of the schemes. I don't know how many schemes and scams and good and bad and stuff I learned along the way. So when I do get to the top, it's going to be very hard for me to fall off because I've been through so much by the time I got there. But the guy who took the elevator, now all of a sudden he wakes up. One day he's eating ramen noodles. The next day he got a $5 million contract. He got all these people in their ear. He don't know what to do. Al says, I've done similar. Just keep at it. Spending problem like a drunk. Hits the bottle and it's gone in an hour. You're right. Al says, you got it, bro. Amber says, financial literacy is so important. I wish it was pushed more in schools. I'm so happy for your books are promoting it to the youth. Yes. You are promoting it to the youth. Yes. Because I look at this whole concept. You guys see me talk to celebrities I just had on the NBA champ. He made $90 million in his NBA career, medal world peace, won championships, 18-year career, right? But you heard him say it. Hey, I didn't know anything about financial literacy or whatever the case may be. I had to learn this from Prince. I had to learn this from tuning into his show. You know, and this is a guy that's made millions and millions. Somebody I grew up watching on television, play with Kobe Bryant, win a championship, you know, playing all-star games, all the other good stuff. But he turned around and he said, hey, that was skipped. I come out of projects. So what I'm learning today with the book series, so people out there who don't know, you have seen some of the world's first children's series on investing, credit, insurance. The fourth book will be out by the summer of next year. You know, real estate, taxes, those are the things, or those are the lessons in that Wesley Learn series that don't matter if you become a basketball player or you become a YouTuber. You would need to know those lessons in life. So I'm taking the concepts that we're learning as adults in our 30s and 40s and 50s, if that, in our late 20s and mid-20s, and I'm giving it to children. I'm introducing them to the topics at a very young age. Al said, it all comes down to managing things. You're right. It's not what you know. It's what you do when you have it. And the most important thing, Al, who is around you? Who's backing you? Who is around you? Right now, Uber got to this point because of the backing that it's had. So who is behind you? Who's around you? If you got a good team, you can, and you know, they always say, look at your circle. That's your greatest indication of your future. So if you got a bunch of smart people around you and they're trying to help you maneuver your way, I have some good friends around me that help me, give me outside looks on things I should do and don't do, things I should avoid. And I try my best at doing it, right? So I look at a person's circle. If you're from the projects and you're playing basketball, you're hooping every day, then you wake up eating ramen noodles one day, then all of a sudden you got millions of dollars and all your friends are from the projects and they're from, you know, nothing against anybody from the projects, but if you stay around those people, guess what's going to happen? If you buy a $1 million house, if a $1 million house is surrounded by a bunch of $100,000 houses, what's going to happen to that $1 million house? It's going to come down. It's going to decrease in value. But if you're a $1 million house and all the houses around you worth $50 million, what's going to happen to the value of that $1 million house? It's going to go up. Even if you're a dummy, if you hung around Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, even if you are a dummy, you're going to mess around and learn something. If you just hung around Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and y'all just hung out all the time, even if you are an idiot, you would mess around and learn something. You know what I mean? So that's my take on it. Mr. C, my friend was the second smartest person in high school, has a PhD and make more money than me, but he continues to ask to borrow money from me. I make $30,000 less than him. It's sad. That's very sad. I knew people in school who were valedictorians, and I go back home and they're on drugs or they're doing nothing. They just had a working, you know, at a gas station. I've seen it happen. And it's not about what you have, like what I just showed you guys on the financial reports. I saw what everybody was making in total revenue, but then I want to look at net income, because great, you're making a bunch of money, but after you pay all your bills, how much money is the company actually taking in? So if you got two companies, I'm looking at a company, you got a school teacher that makes $30,000 a year, and you have a financial advisor making $100,000 a year. But after they pay their bills, the financial advisor, he's bringing home $10,000. Let's say he only has $10,000 left because he has houses and cars and boats and two houses and this or whatever. He only has $10,000 left to play with, but the school teacher has $20,000 left to play with. Who does a better job at managing their money? So looking at gross revenue and then looking at net revenue is a great indicator comparing it to companies. Who's doing a better job of managing their money? You see how I like to take real world things and break it down to the likes of the Warren Buffetts of the world who teaches you this type of stuff. Al said, yes, dumb. The stupid friends that are poisons. Yes. Yes. You know, those are your friends you grew up with. And what do you think is going to happen? Jim, Toronto, Canada. Michael, actually, that's his name. I got your email, Michael. I'm going to respond to that when I get off of here. He says, good evening, Prince. I was late to the show, but late better than never. Yeah, anytime, man. We had a great time today. We talked about the confidence indicator, how to look up the confidence indicator for the people that are catching the playback. What did the confidence indicator mean? We talked about are the indicators we're looking at. Is Wall Street already cooked in the bad earnings and the unemployment? That's what we're going to look at, too, because unemployment numbers, jobless reports come out on Thursday. And also the unemployment numbers come out on Friday. Today, the confidence indicator came out. The confidence indicator is how confidence, the consumer confidence indicator, how confident are consumers in the current economy? If consumers are not confident, and the reason why this indicator is so important because it's used by the Federal Reserve, and if consumer confidence is down, that means they're less likely to make big purchases and to spend money. So that's why it's so important. And of course, it fell sharply in March due to the uncertainty of what's going on. You got to think about it. Coronavirus only hit about half of March. Coronavirus didn't start taking off until about middle of March. So, and the president just extended April. So I wonder how April is going to look. If you're a restaurant or a grocery store that's surviving off of Uber right now. So yeah, that's kind of a little quick little gist. Benjamin Israel. Hello, listening from Newington, Connecticut. We got Newington, Connecticut. I already know Ms. Amber Mead. She's from Philly. We got Al from Chicago. Mr. C, I'm not sure where you're from. We have some other people in here. J-Biz, I'm not sure where J-Biz is from. So, but anyway, guys and girls, that's my time for today's show. Y'all tune in tomorrow to catch Yahoo Finance here live in the studio. Andy Sori, you know, on our show. We're going to get to talk to him, ask him some questions. We're going to talk about his economy, what he's seen, what he's done, and all that other great stuff. So anyway, I appreciate you guys and girls for tuning in. If you haven't already, you can catch the playback on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, iTunes, iHeartRadio, all type of apps, wherever you grab your podcasts from, grab out to those podcasts and you tune into the Investor Show. So, yeah, definitely. Thank you guys and girls for tuning in. Let me see if we got any other comments. Yeah, Al says, take it light. I will. LHG said, be safe, family. Be safe. I thank you guys for tuning in from all across the world. I see you guys tune in and where y'all coming from. What's the Patreon? Oh, you know what? I haven't done Patreon. I may do Patreon in the future. I know everybody was asking me to create a course, but y'all let me know what y'all want me to create a course on. And, you know, the Patreon, I have a Patreon, but I haven't really produced it and put anything on it yet. But anyway, we'll see about that in the future. But yeah, thank you guys and girls for tuning in. Check out the description box, follow us across the globe. I appreciate you. Happy investing. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else you see me do crazy around the globe. Peace, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.